talking animal here on August 12th, 2014. August 1, 2014. And you know what? Here's what I'm going to talk about. I keep seeing articles that say companies are hiring for culture. Our good friend, Stacey Donovan Zappar, she says that if you don't share Zappos, I wonder if they're related. If you don't share Zappos 10 core values, they're not going to hire you. You got to be, listen, what they want. You got to be humble and passionate and determined, and you got to do more with less. You got to drive change and create a little weirdness and deliver wow service, and you got to pursue growth and be adventurous, creative, and open-minded. You have to build open and honest relationships and positive team spirit. Actually, they say family spirit. You know, it reminds me of an old Jamaican song. It goes like this: waist 24, hips 38, bust 36 and 5 up to date. And if you don't possess those figures, you can't be a girlfriend of my, I can't remember his name. I can't remember the singer's name, but the point is, they want a lot. Zappos wants a lot from you. But how do they judge you? I can't figure that out. They don't say, at least Stacey Donovan Zappar didn't say. And I wanted to know, how do they judge people? So I was drawn. I was drawn to an article by a guy named Derek Irvine. And on his website, Derek says that he's one of the world's foremost experts on employee recognition and engagement. He also says that he's a renowned speaker, and he helps clients, including some of the world's most admired companies, leverage proven recognition strategies to proactively manage company culture. I know it's a mouthful. Stick with me. I just want to tell you what he says. He also says his viewpoints and writings are regularly featured across all major HR publications. So we're dealing with someone who really knows his stuff. When I try to find something out, I don't kid around. I go right to the top. Anyway, Derek quotes two CEOs who hire on the basis of core values. Here's boss number one. He says, every person who comes into the office is greeted by our company values. There's a big sign. It's big and bold. And I have learned that I must invest heavily on developing a collaborative team. And this starts by hiring the type of person we strive to be. Humble, fun, authentic, passionate, and dedicated. We look for those who live these values every day, and I won't hire them unless they do. So as soon as you walk into his office, you get smacked in the face by this sign. But how does he assess the candidate against this sign? He doesn't say. Here's boss number two. Here's what he says. We have employee guidelines that we put up on the wall, and we use these who we are statements to filter people out, people who won't fit. We're looking for people who take the work very seriously, but not necessarily themselves. And surprise, surprise, this guy actually tells you how he does it. In the first interview, he tells the candidate he just wants to find out if you're a jerk. So then he asks them for their life stories, not just their work history, their life stories. And then he tells them that he expects this to be the hardest job they've ever had and that he's going to demand more capable of doing. Sounds great, eh? I really want to work there. That's how you do it, eh? So finally someone tells us. That's how you assess someone for culture. Clear instructions. You tell them you want to see if they're a jerk or maybe if they think you're a jerk, and you warn them how hard the job is going to be. And then you ask them for their life story, okay? So don't say you never get any takeaways on Jerry. Jerry, what show is this?
This is the Recruiting Animal Show!
had too much vacation. That was rusty. That was rusty. It was something missing. It was off key. Or
want me to do it again? Hey.
Yeah.
You can either fire me or you can shut up about it.
Oh, tough guy. Tough guy.
Tough guy.
Today we've got our old friend. He's bad. He was here in March.
Oh, my goodness. Recycling. Recycling from the springtime already?
He was here in March of 2013. And
who is it?
Almost a year and a half, so he's had a chance to recycle his thoughts, and he's going to be better this time than he was before.
It's going to be good, It's going to be good.
You know what his name is?
What?
Will Recruits! Will Thompson
Will
Jr.,
Recruits.
The famous! Everybody was really excited when they heard he was going to be on today. He raised his hand. I'm having a lot of trouble getting guests, you know, but I'm happy to have these people come around for their second time. The first time on the Recruiting Animal Show, it's confusing. So now that Will is used to it, he should be as smooth as butter, okay? Will Thompson Jr., are you here?
I'm ready, man. I'm ready, Animal. Thanks for having me back.
Now, Will, are you 40 or 41?
I'm 41. Hey, okay. that's age discrimination, Animal.
Ageist.
You put it on your blog.
You're an HR, man.
You put it on your blog. There's a reason I'm asking. Aren't you ever going to get sick of being called Junior?
You know what, man? My dad is I think the world of him, and my son is a third. So in Texas, it's a big deal to have.
You mean you named your kid Will Thompson as well?
Yeah, his name's Trace, so William King Thompson III. It's a big deal.
Oh, boy. Okay. Listen, we're going to sing. We're going to sing
what
Yesterday.
What do you want to sing?
Everybody knows that song, Yesterday by the Beatles. You know it?
A little bit.
Okay, well, you can try to sing with me. What about, there's a lot of people on the line. Everybody knows this song. Who's going to sing with us? Anybody? Anybody? Come on.
I never sing. That's the worst part of the show. I'm blocking this out. Okay. I'm going to reply on Nahez's thing here real quick while you guys are singing. He posted this picture.
Okay. Yesterday. This is about turndowns. Oh, love was such an easy game to play. Will, where are you? You write
about yesterday. That's about all I know, Animal.
Now
you didn't
need a place to hide away. Oh,
yesterday.
I believe in yesterday. Come on, Will. Suddenly.
Yesterday.
You're not half the man you used to be. There's a shadow hanging over me. Oh, yesterday. Actually, the end of this song is going to come suddenly. Okay. You know, if only I had a guest. There's a few of them who haven't been afraid to sing, but they don't usually know the songs. But that was
I'm not a big fan of that song.
So what?
For my time.
That was awful. That's my first show in nearly a month or two, and I want to hang up.
Well, goodbye. Goodbye,
Don't
Jerry.
Hang up, Jerry. This is going to be too fun.
Okay. Will Thompson.
All right. Do something. Look, man, you're losing people.
Yeah.
Oh, really? Well, already, huh?
I don't even know what we're talking about.
How many people did you recruit on Twitter in the past year?
One.
Right. Oh, how'd you do it?
You know, I went on LinkedIn and found I was looking for a localization person, and she had a profile for LinkedIn, but her Twitter handle was @Laura. So I figured it was probably a good way to get in touch with somebody if they were @Laura. I don't know many people that have been, you know, have a Twitter handle like that.
Well, I promised everyone that you better that you weren't going to be boring, okay?
I'm bored, man.
Yeah, okay,
I'm going to dig into my bag of saltwater taffy I just picked up in northern Michigan, baby. So you guys have at it, and I'll just be listening. I'll jump in if there's ever anything interesting.
Don't stop interrupting already. Look, Will, you didn't source her on Twitter. You contacted her on Twitter after you found her on LinkedIn. Okay, you didn't recruit her from Twitter. You brought it into the mix, but you didn't source her there. How many video interviews have you done in the past year?
There's not a single person I talk to that is global that I don't use video for, and I mean that.
You recruit all over the world, but if someone's in Texas like you, you don't use the video?
Not as typical in the United States, no. Someone could probably see them, but globally, yes.
Why not in the United States?
Well, there are people, you know, in remote locations that can meet them. But, you know, for sales roles specifically, I mean, a lot of these guys are remote. They may not have a chance to see the hiring manager. They may not see someone directly.
Phones?
So
don't they have
what's
phones?
That?
Come, you don't use. What do you use? What do you use to talk to these people? Skype, Hangout. What do you use?
Mostly Skype. Yeah, I've used Hangouts in the past, but Skype's really what.
Okay, so you use Skype. So if someone's in France, you'll Skype them instead of phone them. But if someone's in Dallas or Tennessee, you won't Skype them. You'll phone them. Why? What's the difference?
I do phone them. I also do Skype as well. But typically, the first phone would first contact them via phone, and then you go to video.
Why?
But yeah, I use it daily for my business. Even you know, everybody that I communicate is on Google Hangouts.
Okay, why?
Why what?
Why video? Why do you want to see them?
Yeah, why? Because you can tell by their body movements, you know, how excited they are, you know, what you can if they look to the left or the right, how prepared they are for the interview, if they have a coffee cup, if they have cereal on their side, if how they're dressed, you know, you can tell a lot by a video. I mean, much more than you can by a phone.
Really? Have you ever ruled out anybody because of how they looked in the video?
If they interviewed well, I mean, and if they have a, it depends on their sales skills. I mean, you know, if you're going to go present yourself in front of a client and you're not well kept, or you know, then I probably think twice about presenting that individual because that's someone that's going to represent the company.
Hold on a second. Wait a sec. You just mentioned if they got cereal there. Does anybody actually do an interview with cereal on their desk?
And, well, I've seen your videos, and you actually – you got your clothes back behind you. Come on.
Hey, we're not talking about me. That's not a job
right.
interview.
We're never talking about Animal. This is all you little people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to get a job with you. What about people who are interviewing for a job? You said if they have their cereal on the desk, you know, you want to know that. Has anyone ever had cereal, their bowl of cereal with milk in it, on the desk in front of them while you're talking to them on Skype?
Yes. Yes. People need to be taught about their video interviewing skills because it's going to become more and more prevalent in the future.
Don't bore
so,
me. Answer the
Newman
question.
Here. I'm tweeting an article right now, link in the article show, about microfacial features. That's why I like the video interview. But
you're still
I'll
on
give
Twitter?
You a terrible video interview story. 9 o'clock at night, I'm interviewing a software architect. He's in California. I'm in New York getting ready to move to California. My son is 3 and a half. He's in the middle of potty training. I'm doing the interview 9 o'clock at home at night in my home office in New York City, which means a corner in a room. The candidate goes, Jeff, you better turn around. And I go, why? He goes, just turn around. And I turn around, and there's my kid taking a dump on the floor. He understood not to go in his diaper. He didn't understand where to direct it. So it can go wrong on the recruiting side, too.
Okay,
it can. I mean,
first of all, hold on. Job Board Doctor wants to know why I'm talking about Skype, okay? This is the only guy we've had on so far who does video interviews, and I'm just trying to find something out. It's hard to get an answer from him. How many people have cereal or other stuff on their desk?
One guy did once. Move on!
Oh, come on. There's more than one. It happens all the time. I mean, people don't think about what's in their back. You know, you know, they could have cereal, they could have their clothes, they could have books, what have you. But, I mean, it happens all the time. If you've got a video interview, there's some etiquette, and people need to know about it.
Absolutely.
You know what? You know, you're giving, like, vague non-answers, but I'll move on. Jerry insists. But
Hold on a second. Is that a reflection of inexperience doing video interviews, or is that lack of attention to detail that you found?
That's a great question, and I find it a lack of attention to detail. I mean, you know, if you're going to hire someone as a salesperson and they have clutter all over the place, is that somebody that's going to be well organized and ready for the day? Probably not.
Okay,
yeah, but
I'm
that's...
asking again. Hold on, Alejandro. I'm asking him again. How many people have you knocked out for that reason? What percentage of people get knocked out if they don't know how to do an interview?
Yeah.
Okay, he's not going to answer.
30%?
I'll move on. 30%? 30%. Because they don't know how, not because they're not good sales reps, but because they you can see their clothes behind them or their cereal or something or their kids, you know, taking, et cetera.
It's more than just
30%.
Their clothes and cereal, but it's an indicator of, you know, is this a good candidate?
Okay, so that's the stuff. You'll knock them out just on how their room looks or their desk looks. Is that what you're saying? That's what you do?
No,
I'm saying
it's a piece of it. Right? I mean, there's a lot of parts of the video interviewing that you take into consideration, and that's a piece of the evaluation.
So how many people get knocked out just because their room doesn't look good? Their
Move on!
Man, you're really
this is ridiculous.
Okay, Jerry, you know, I like to get a real answer, and he hasn't given
one. I can tell you're going to keep pounding this until you get one. Will you just give him an answer so we can get to something real?
Well, let me ask you
something. Give him a number. Make it up. Be fake.
Well, I don't know, Animal. I don't know the exact number of people that, you know.
Three. You told me before. Three. Okay. And I wrote it down.
Okay.
I heard three once, yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay. Lord,
three.
Then. Three.
It was
if
three.
You got a, if Will Thompson Jr., if you got a call from a company president who tells you to stop recruiting his people, what are you going to do?
Who cares?
Well, that's a tough one. I think that... Am I an agency recruiter or am I a corporate recruiter?
Because you're a scumbag agency recruiter.
For yourself. For yourself today.
If you're an agency recruiter, why would you stop? You have to be aggressive, right?
Yeah.
Keep going after them. It's not a big deal. I mean, but there are some when I worked at Dell, there were a number of companies we could not call upon,
that's
right?
That's not what I'm talking about, and you know it. Answer the
question.
Well,
I am talking about it because at Dell, for example, there was certain companies that we couldn't go after. And if I called them and they're on a list, then I couldn't hire them. So, you know, that's my answer.
You know what? Are you listening to me? I'll move on again. It's another non-answer. Look, I was reading an article in Business Insider. It said wealthy people make a lot more birthday calls and hello calls and life event calls than poor people. Do you make those kind of networking calls on a regular basis?
No, I don't. I'm too busy with life.
Okay.
So you're not wealthy then?
Okay.
See,
let's
Animal just
nice
cornered you there.
Know,
that's
Jerry.
His new approach.
Okay, let's move on. Let's move on.
Please.
You know, I was reading your blog, and lots of times you give a business principle, but you don't give an example from business or let alone recruiting. You give an example from sports, a football game or a baseball game. It's all sports with you. So I'm wondering, I read an article recently on Forbes. Someone was complaining that people often say women should read the sport pages so they could build rapport with the other people in the office. Do you think women should read sports?
If they enjoy it.
You know, what if they're just doing it to build rapport with the guys like you who are always talking about sports?
Well, some women love sports, man. I mean, you don't have
to read
sports.
Listen to my question. Listen to the question.
Your question.
She doesn't have any particular interest in sports, but she wants to relate to guys like you who were talking about last night's game all the time. Everything, every reference you make, it's some football game or something like that. So should she read the sports page just so, you know, she can be your buddy?
Who is she again?
Any woman.
Yeah, who
any woman?
Yeah.
Should she pretend to be interested in a topic that she's not?
Yeah.
Men do it all the time. You know why?
That's a good answer, Jerry. Yeah, absolutely.
Is we all pretend to care about what the other person's talking about. It's called networking.
Uh-huh.
Jeez.
Do you read the paper every day to do that, Jerry?
So I talked to my wife. I said, hey, listen, Laura, you know, do you know who's in the finals for the NBA? She goes, I have no clue. I said, well, you may want to know.
San Antonio,
you know?
That's right. Sorry.
What's that?
Alejandro, I cut you off before. Do you have anything else you wanted to add, Alejandro? Alejandro?
No, we've already moved on. No,
okay,
it's fine.
Good. Jerry Crispin, Will Thompson Jr., Jerry Crispin says that a recruiter should be judged by retention. This is exactly what he said. He said recruiters should check on the retention of each placement to assess their...
Whoops.
Let me finish. That's a ridiculous statement. Recruiters are not involved in retention. Not in any way, shape, or form. We, at least agency recruiters, identify and help attract the person to the company. What happens afterwards, we have no influence or any of that on. So, Jerry Crispin, sorry, buddy.
I disagree with you, Jerry. I mean, I think that part of our screening process, part of the deciding if someone is a good fit is determining, you know, like Animal was talking about at the very beginning, the culture is a big deal. I mean, so if they're coming and leaving, then you're not attracting the right talent.
And that's why I said agency recruiters. Internal recruiters,
so
there's probably a bit more.
You're not involved in retention for the 90 days prior to the guarantee being up? You have to retain them for the 90 days.
Okay,
retain? I can't retain anybody.
Will Thompson Jr.
Every
Will
week.
Thompson Jr.
Like,
no way.
I hear you.
Will Thompson Jr. Will.
Yes, I'm here.
Okay. Well, did you have an opinion? Did you say that you – Krista Bradford said that's not realistic because just like Jerry said, she says the recruiter doesn't have control of the onboarding and things like that. But you in your blog said the recruiter should be very involved with onboarding. So I'm wondering if you agree with Jerry or not. Jerry Crispin.
Did you hear me talk, Animal, or did you cut out?
Yeah, he cut out. I want to go over to Jeff Newman, though. Jeff, what are you supposed to do as an agency recruiter every 2 weeks when you're so actively involved in making sure that they at least make it 90 days? What are you bringing to the table there?
I feel that if you're talking to both the hiring manager and the candidate, if there's – I think that when you take a new job, your first 90 days are the trial period, whether it's through an agency or not. And that any issues, any concerns that are going to cause a problem in 5 years of employment at a company are going to come out in the first 90 days. So if you find out something that's going on as the recruiter in the first 90 days, you can address it right away, address it immediately, or start looking for a backfill. But
here's my experience, and I appreciate your input on it because certainly there's something to – think about there.
I don't think it's necessarily going to save it, but you have to try.
I have never heard anybody in 20-some years tell me that there's an actual issue or a problem. No, one time I did. One time. Every other time, the candidate that just started, hey, everything's cool, yeah, everything's great. Talk to the customer. That guy's fitting in. Thanks for your help. I'll make sure your fee's paid. That's all. That's it. That's the sum total of nearly every experience I've ever had trying to be involved in retention.
Yeah, you're boring me. You're boring the hell out of me. Okay?
Dude, I'm just trying to bring something to the table here.
I want
to
move on.
This show is in the ditch.
Oh, come on.
I'm going to mute you, okay?
Do it.
Will Thompson, can you hear me? Okay.
Is he still a guest?
Can you hear me, Animal?
I thought it was me and Newman.
No. Okay. Will Thompson said that quotas, what he calls metrics, he says they're unrelated to productive activity. He says you don't want to tell someone to make 150 calls a day and send out 50 emails and 100 in-mails because that's not productive in itself. They're going to be doing a lot of ridiculous stuff just to hit those numbers. Do you really believe that, Will Thompson?
Where did I say that?
Yeah.
On your blog.
Which blog?
Will's got a blog?
Yeah. Okay, you know
news
what?
To me.
I didn't. I just assumed everybody knew who Will Thompson Jr. was. Will Thompson Jr. is a popular sales recruiter.
Dude, he's a prolific global blogger in the HR space. Are you kidding me?
On Twitter, he's Will Recruits, at Will Recruits, and his blog is, what is it, BullseyeRecruit.net?
Recruiting.net.
BullseyeRecruiting.net, and he's got a posting there where he says metrics are not his friend. And this
oh,
is
God,
what
you're
it,
pulling out stuff from two
you know
years
what?
Ago.
I got to tell you, you told me the dumbest thing yesterday or 2 days ago in an email. You said, don't go through my blog and talk about things I wrote about there. What kind of blogger says that? I mean,
man, I write at least 4 blogs a week, dude. I mean, that's a lot of writing.
So
I mean, if people were wanting to hear about blogs all day long, they'd be bored to death.
About. It's not worth talking about. I mean, I didn't read the stuff that's just about you and your families on your dad's ranch. I don't want to talk about that. But there's lots of stuff has about recruiting. I shouldn't look at what you said. Come on.
Let me tell you this, okay? As a sales recruiter, I think that you have to ask some tough questions, and you can tell if someone's successful. I'm not crazy about metrics, but I know it's a necessary evil in recruiting. If you make so many phone calls, you're going to have so many contacts, you're going to be able to make a hire. You know, I hear a lot of people say to me in sales, I work smarter, but you know, the bottom line is, are you doing what it takes to be successful? You know, so you ask people, you know, for example, the product that I sell, that I hire people for, they have to, it's you know, anywhere from $200 to $400 per license for
that
product. If they have to sell $1 million, tell me how they're going to do it if they just go out there and, you know, try to wing it. You have to make 50, 60 calls a day. You have to make this many presentations a day. The proof's in the pudding with the metrics. Now, when I look for salespeople, I look for people that have that drive that can do that.
How do you assess their drive? So you had another article, How I Assess Salespeople. Okay, so how do you assess their drive? They're driven by a desire for something. You got 10 things. Good salespeople want something, you say, and they're driven by that desire. How do you assess that?
Desire. So, you know, one of the best hires I had was an individual that worked in a restaurant. And this person had a ton of debt and was out of college. She worked ton of hours, no relative experience whatsoever, but I could tell that this person, A, needed to get some make money, B, had the personality, and C, had that drive. And we put her in a sales role, and she did, within the first year, she was the top salesman.
Hold on. How did you tell she had the drive? How did you discern that she had the drive? Just from the way she talked, your feeling about her?
No, you gotta interview them. Ask them. What are you driven by? What are you looking for in life? You know, tell me a little bit about. Tell me what makes you wake up out of bed every morning? You know, different people want different things. I mean, I'm not excited about playing the next round of Minecraft. I mean, I what makes you excited? So, you know, I want to have a family. I want to have a nice house. I got to pay off this debt. You know, get to know them by asking open-ended questions, and that can assess drive.
Okay. Anybody want to comment on that? Is that a good way to assess their drive? Nobody wants to say anything?
Well, it's a good starting point, absolutely. I mean, I don't think we're going to be able to get through his entire interview process, but you do have to start questioning about what are you inspired by, what drives you, how have you performed in the past.
I've never asked that question. Gary, have you ever asked that question, what do you wake up for in the morning?
No.
Never?
No, it's a stupid question. So who said that, Will? No, that's not a stupid question.
Listen,
that's a great
there
question,
There are so
Will.
Many candidates out there. You've got to be able to differentiate yourself somehow. Beginning of the show, you were saying culture is not important. It is so important. People could have all the skills in the world, you know, but, you know, if they don't have the right skills, what makes you – are you excited about
Will,
movies?
Will,
are you excited about
Will,
something?
Will
is that the flip side of what keeps you up at night?
Will Thompson Jr.
Maybe.
You know, yeah. You're – posting on culture, where you said if you don't have the right culture, you're not going to work out in the company. And so I was looking for you to give some examples in that article. But your example was from a football game that was on the night before.
Oh, my goodness.
It was a
football
article.
That totally excludes all women.
Yeah, well, not only that, he has no real-life business examples. Do you have any real-life examples of someone who didn't have the right culture that you hired or that someone hired in your company and it didn't work out?
So let me give you this example, Animal. So recently we had a career fair, you know, and you know, it was for product managers in Austin, and we had it at a bar. It was a billiards bar. And typically, you know, I would thought, oh, this is a horrible idea. Why don't we have, you know, a job fair at the Omni or what have you? This turned out so extremely well because this was what they were in their element. They weren't standing interviewing with one individual that was talking about technology. They were actually talking to the product managers themselves. They were hanging out, and we got that, get, you know, that the Austin weird vibe, and it worked out really well. So
here's what he's saying, everybody. He's just saying he gets a vibe. He gets a gut feel. That's how he figures out if they have the right culture. That's
and they get a better vibe when booze is flowing.
Okay.
Am I right? I mean, it was a pool hall or something?
You know how else you can assess culture really easily is if they're a referral. Someone that knows somebody that is 10 times more likely to work out through a referral than just someone off the street, I think, because they're going to know and they're going to fit that culture.
Okay, so you say that your sales rep also has to be unafraid of rejection. How do you assess that?
Well, you're born a salesman or you're not, right? Sales is a very either you have it or you're not. So what did you say to your mom when she said, hey, you know, I want cookies? Yes, Mom. Or did you say, no, I want these cookies. This is why. So when you –
Is that one of your interview questions? Is that one of your interview questions you say to the candidate, what did you tell your mom when you wanted cookies and she didn't want to give them to you? Did you negotiate or did you just – were you a good kid and say, okay, Mother, I'll have them another time? Is that what you ask? Is that one of your questions?
No. No, it's not. But sales is convincing someone to buy something, to do something, to change, or to accept something. So, you know, you're going to have to ask them questions regarding, you know, if they're okay with being told no 1,000 times. You tweeted before we got on this call. You said, you know, Will, delivering donuts, you know, two times or once a week for 10 times to keep getting rejected, you know, is that going to get you into a client? And, it, you know, it did work for me. I mean, you know, I had an account, Selectron, when I was with an agency, as an agency recruiter, and just kept getting no and no and no and no. And one time they finally said, you know, I'm sick of you delivering bagels and donuts to me. So, yeah, we'll give you a shot. Absolutely. So it's that tenacity that you look for when you find salespeople.
Okay, so that's tenacity, and you don't take a no for an answer. But what about being unafraid of rejection? Can you give an example either from your own experience, and maybe you can even tell us how you assess that in a candidate, since you said that's an important trait in a salesperson, and that's what you do for a living, hire salespeople?
Yeah, I mean, so –
Am I making you nervous, Will? I'm your buddy.
You are making me nervous. I'm not prepared for this answer. I'm better written sometimes, but that's all right.
Okay. We can skip it. If you say, Alex, next answer, I'm going to pass on this.
We'll come back to this one, yeah.
Okay, you think about it. Okay, they're risk takers. How do you assess that? Do you know how you assess? See, I believe that people write about culture and this and that, and they don't really assess these things in any articulated way. They just get a feeling about it, right? They don't delve into it. So I see you write a blog posting, these 10 things are required to have a good sales hire. So I ask you about them, but you don't have prepared answers because you don't really check these things out in any definite way.
I wrote this 2 years ago.
Nobody does, man. It's all It's all
no risk taker. Have you been an entrepreneur? Are you someone that has run your own business? What have you done? Did you go off to school somewhere that you know where your parents weren't that, and you paid for your student loans? What did you do that would separate you from the pack? I mean, have you worked for a bunch of startups? I mean, you know, are you willing to take that risk? So, you know, people, my brother's worked for a number of startups. You know, he is a risk taker, and he's very successful at what he does. And one day he's going to make it really, really, really big.
Uh-huh. Okay. I'll just get one more out of this. You said real salespeople don't like to lose. They really want to win. How do you assess that in a candidate? Let me ask Jerry first. Jerry, do you think that's an important question?
It's not one that I've
Anybody else on the line? You think
I'm not looking for risk takers. I recruit IT developers,
yeah.
And they're not supposed to be risky. Their stuff is supposed to always work all the time. So I'm not. Uh-huh. I'm just not looking for that guy or gal.
But on the sales side of things, though, you do want somebody that's not going to be afraid to turn that doorknob or pick up that phone. And as far as the, afraid of what was it, receiving a no. They have to be resilient and overcome that. And
yeah,
the
yeah.
fact
how
is, you're going to tell me
how
no, I'm going to call back.
It? Michael Cox, this is the great Michael Cox. How do you assess that? See, nobody seems to be getting my point. These are the things we want. We all want
okay.
the culture guys, the humble people who are very serious about work and they're not serious
yeah.
about themselves. How do you assess that? Are there questions?
Here's how you assess
in,
it, dude. You hire
sales.
Three of them, and one turns out to be that guy. The other two don't work out. It's the it's how the world works, man.
Yeah,
stop pretending that we can gauge any of this stuff on the front end. You can't!
No, yes, you can to a certain extent. Yes, it still is a risk from a recruiting perspective and hiring perspective,
yeah.
but I'm not going to get my retention bonus, and yes, I am measured on retention as a recruiter, but if you just hire everybody and see what sticks. As far as measuring against that resilience or that cold calling, you have to ask about, you know, give me a situation. Your last job, you were in sales. How much cold calling did you do? And ask
yeah.
questions about that specifically, because if they start stumbling and not sure about their answers, then you start wondering or you're not as confident in the answer that they're providing, so their stock goes down. If they're giving you proper examples in regards to, I do 40 cold calls a day, my goal is to hit at least 10 to 12 appointments per week, this is what I'm currently doing. If they're able to actually give you concise answers that are preferably quantified, that give you proper numbers, then it sounds like you're a little bit closer to that.
So here's what you're saying, Michael Cox.
Feeling.
Michael Cox, here's what you're saying. You have to you never know what's on their mind. You have to translate it into actions and ask them, do you have actions that prove that you are fearless, that you work hard, that you will not take no for an answer? There's always got to be translated into actions. There's no other way to do it, right? And there's certain actions that you believe are going to be indicative of those attitudes, so you specifically ask them about those things, like how many cold calls did you make yesterday?
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
not
yeah, the,
okay.
The activities they have done in the past that is transferable, that has helped them build the skills that are transferable into what we need them to do here, is what we're looking for.
Okay, so
how many meetings
did
you go on a week? How many calls did it take to get a meeting? You know, what is your success rate once you get the meeting? You know, what
yep.
kind of quotas are you used to having? Have you ever managed a territory? What percentage of your time do you spend traveling? You know, have you ever made a president club? What percentage of the annual quota have you
yep.
achieved? You know, yep. Those are questions you can ask.
And okay. and the things that are going to make you shy away from somebody, if you're trying to fill a role that is a business development, and they start talking about, I was managing $2 million worth of current contract value, and then if you ask them, how much of that did you bring to the company? And they say, oh, those accounts were assigned to me. I'm an account manager. Then that's not going to be a proper fit. Or if they say, I don't believe in cold calling. I've actually had some people tell me cold calling doesn't work. I said, excellent. Thank you. Please drive through.
You know
no, if they
amazing,
say cold calling doesn't work.
I cold call all the time. And I said, well, how much do you cold call? He goes, well, you know, I like to work smarter. And I really, well, how smart do you like to work? He goes, well, I mean, how many cold calls do you make a day? This happened the other day. He goes, well, I really like to build those relationships. I asked the third time, how many cold calls do you make in a day? He goes, five. So you're going to be a hunter, and you're going to be successful. That's not going to happen.
You know, Will, that sounds like me interviewing you, okay? That's I got to tell you. You wrote a posting where you said those things aren't relevant, and now you're telling me that's the kind of question you ask people, you know?
I don't know when I wrote that, man. Yes, but those are the kind of questions I ask.
I've
got
to tell you something. When you write those homey, folksy blog postings and you list all those things that are required for success, you should give some real-life examples, and you should say, this is how I'm going to ask you, or this is how a recruiter is going to determine if you have those things. Because right now, I mean, I'm surprised. You've got tons of entries here about, you know, all these things that you want in a person, how you identify, you know, real leaders as opposed to you want people who are trendsetters and blah, blah, blah. If I ask you, how do you identify a trendsetter, you're going to be like a deer in the headlights. Am I right or wrong about that?
Say it again, Emma. I'm checking my Twitter. I'm getting distracted here, man. I got
don't
like 10 things up at once. Sorry about
Twitter.
That.
Don't check your Twitter during an interview.
You get distracted.
That's like having cereal on your table during a video interview, okay? Don't do it.
Keep it shut.
That's a good idea, okay? You want to shine on the Recruiting Animal Show, and I know that you're a smart guy. You know, so you know, these are questions. What do you want to talk about? I got lots of stuff. What would you like to talk about?
Let's see. I gave you some topics.
Yeah, okay. You remember them?
Yeah, absolutely.
So talk about someone. Pick one.
Yeah, you'll talk about some successful hires and non-successful hires that I've had.
What about killing deer? You got a posting where you like to get up and look for a
big
buck.
What are you talking about killing deer for? You asked about what people wouldn't listen to. Yeah, I love killing deer, by the way.
Yeah, I know. Okay, go ahead.
It's the best, man. I mean, I love shooting dove. Thanks for the picture. I like that. We got a lot of dove that day.
Hey, Will, come on up. My dove fields are just about ready to go up here, September 1st.
I'm ready, man.
We're shooting away. I put in
the world to do. And fishing. We caught some killer tuna, by the way.
Okay, go ahead. Tell what you're going to talk about.
I wanted to go out, but we decided to just buy the tuna.
Okay.
you can buy deer, too.
Will, before I'm sorry I distracted you with the crack about deer. What were you going to talk about?
So we're talking a little bit about, you know, people that have been successful and what they, you know, identifying good candidates. Let's tell a story about how I came to you and to Daryl Dioso. You know, that was a good story. So I had an opening for a French-speaking individual in Toronto. And the first people I went to were Daryl Dioso, and then I went to Animal, and we had a conversation about salespeople in there because I don't know anybody in Toronto. So, and I always believe that, you know, referrals are the best candidates. And there are probably over 150 applicants for that role. You know, I did talk to several, but the one that stuck out was the one that Daryl gave me because he'd been vetted pretty thoroughly. And, you know, I asked him about his selling skills in Toronto and his knowledge of the French and his quotas that he obtained and his software as a service and his ability to work, you know, as one of the first hires in Canada because we had never really been in Canada and sold there before. And this guy that we hired, you know, he is one of the most successful reps that is on our team today. So, you know, I think that when you recruit salespeople, you do think about referrals first, and then you kind of look at all their skills and traits, like you had mentioned, and then really dive into tangible skills, like, you know, Michael and I were talking about, you know, the quotas they've obtained, you know, what exactly they're looking for an opportunity, those type things.
Mm-hmm. Okay, you tell people your job hunters on your blog, you tell them not to shoot too high when you ask what they're looking for. Do you rule people out when they ask for too much money, or do you say, I understand that's your fantasy.
That?
You know, you got a blog, okay, and I read it.
Will has a blog?
You read the whole thing.
I read quite a few.
So, when you're negotiating a salary, I think you should always ask the question, what's your ballpark figure? And I may throw it right back at you. If someone shoots way high, let's just say a salesperson, and they're looking for, $250 total targeted compensation, and we're offering $50, then yes, I'm going to discount them. If we're $20,000 apart or, $10,000 apart, I'll sell them on the opportunity, what Rosetta Stone's doing, the ability to make commissions to hit their targets. So I try to be pretty objective when I look at sales candidates and not, rule them out right away.
Jerry said many times here, I know he's going to deny it because I said he said it, but he said when a person moves from one job to another, they shouldn't be expecting too big an increase. It should be fairly modest, just a few percentage points. But let's say you know what someone's earning. They're earning 50, and they want to earn 100. So when you ask them, what are you looking for? They tell you $100,000. What do you tell them?
Are they worth it? I want to know what they've done.
Obviously not to their current employer.
Yeah, I mean, I want to know what they've done with their quotas, though. I mean, have they killed it, or are they worth that much money? Are they just getting that severely underpaid? Because that happens a lot.
What happens?
If it's somebody that is not worth it, they've done X and they're going to be doing making kind of a lateral move, then I don't want to give them another $50,000 to make a change.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but what do you tell them?
It's recruiters or salespeople, whatever they want to hear.
See, when
an opportunity comes about.
I can see where in sales, there's all kinds of ways people are paid and commission structures and goals. I'm recruiting in IT. There's a pretty specific range of what a .NET software developer's pay range is going to be in Indianapolis. It doesn't vary as widely as maybe in sales, so just throwing that in there.
You're right.
I'm always right.
Okay. If someone tells you they've hit quota for the last 3 years steady, how do you check that?
You can ask for W-2s. I've done that. You can ask to talk to their previous employers. They can talk to their supervisors. There's all sorts of way of cross-referencing, what they've said they've done.
Okay, you can't find anything out about their current employer.
Well, maybe they have a W-2 that shows what they had made, that they've hit their quotas. Let's say
okay.
that they've made that they've made $250,000 and prove it to me.
Uh-huh.
I've done that.
Uh-huh. Okay. What else do you want to talk about? There's another 10 minutes left.
What does the audience want to hear about?
Well, is anybody left on the line? What would you like to hear?
I'd love to know from Mr. Junior. I am a generalist recruiter. I recruit tech. I recruit admin. I recruit whatever's thrown across my desk. My best success with salespeople has only been referrals. People who submit themselves to jobs, and I'm doing two interviews after this call from people who did, so I hope they're not listening. They're usually kind of crappy. Any techniques, any tips, anything you can give me and everybody to be a better recruiter of salespeople if it's not our specialty?
Yeah, what a question. And I think you're dead on as far as, referrals are the best candidates for sales roles because they're going to fit the culture. They're gonna have the background. Someone can vouch for them. I've talked about LinkedIn. I think that I would never go to something place like a job board. I would go to your. I'd dive deep into your network, which could be Facebook. It could be sharing something on Twitter and having somebody have them recommend them to you. Amber Eastman just gave me a phenomenal sales candidate today, and she knows I've been looking for someone for a while. And she's not doesn't work for Rosetta Stone, but she understands what I do. I'm vocal about it. So I think that, you know, you need to really work with the people that you know to tell them about the company and what your objectives are and to find those good candidates. But, I mean, it is really difficult to look at a LinkedIn profile and see if they're successful. And I can tell you the in-mails do not work. I have a friend that works at EMC, and he gets 60 in-mails a week. Now, he's worked at Cisco, Oracle, and EMC, and there's no way that he's going to look at any of those in-mails, right? So I don't know if that's the best way to go about doing this. But, yeah, I think that, you know, being creative with your personal network is the best way to do it, and you've really got to develop a relationship with everyone you hire. So if that's in product or if that's in, you know, IT or what have you, I mean, you need to be able to develop those relationships. So when the hire does come along, you can go running to them and say, hey.
Okay, you said you want to talk about LinkedIn. That's one of the topics you sent me. Although I have to say, you also told me you want to talk about how you identify, you know, sales talent. So that's what I focused on. But if you want to talk about LinkedIn for a few minutes and why you're mad at it. Now, you mentioned the in-mails. Is there anything else, other problems you have?
I'm sick of LinkedIn. Who on the call likes LinkedIn? I mean, is it bothering you?
I still like it. I like it a starting base. It makes a cold call into at least a lukewarm call. It's working it. It's not as bad as Monster Board has become, but it's going down the toilet. We all know that. But it's still
horrible.
A good starting point, especially if you're recruiting in an area where your network is crap.
Yeah,
so
why is it
awful?
So I'll give you a list of reasons. I am so tired of people asking for reasons to connect for no reason. You know, I don't understand why you'd send a blank invitation.
Why
would you do that, Michael? That's ridiculous.
Because the more connections you have, the more access you have to the database. You have to have first-level connections to be able to make the database searchable.
I kind of disagree with that. I don't think it's that way anymore. I think you still get everybody's profile on there.
Yeah, but you don't get their names or anything.
I think if you're a third-party, if you're third-degree, you can't look up somebody without having to go to Google and get an X-ray search.
Uh-huh.
You know, there's just
that's
so much
what I was going to say. If you're a recruiter
publishers.
And don't know how to get somebody's third degree, then
yeah, time to pull the plug on your own career.
Okay, but
that's,
you
know,
why.
The current
that's
content,
why.
The top content, the whole premium account BS. You know,
kind of account do you have? What kind of account do you have?
I have no idea.
Will, are you allowed to say anything negative about LinkedIn? Because you are a blogger there, right?
No, I'm not. I've never used their platform.
Really?
I have. How
come I keep seeing your blogs everywhere I look? Am I just...
Hold on a second. So
I mean, I like it. I'm just...
So
everybody blogs on LinkedIn now.
Will, your company does not pay for you to have one of the fancy accounts on LinkedIn?
So this is interesting, Animal. I called LinkedIn and said, hey, I would like to have a premium account. And they said, well, great. And I said, well, I have a corporate recruiter license. Can you get it done? She's like, oh, I'm going to have to get back to you on that. I said, what do you mean you're going to have to get back to me on that? And they said, well, this is for people that don't work for a company that can pay for it. And I said, well, what's the purpose of having, you know, your – what is the purpose? You know, I don't understand. Shane McCluster actually posted a post about LinkedIn recently, talking about how you search for people on LinkedIn, and half the profiles have the new account look, and half of them have the old account look. And I think mine has the new account look, but I didn't ask for it. They told me no.
Okay.
Well, because when you're doing a search, it shows up differently. I mean. Previous and past employment is how it shows up. That ruins your Boolean search or whatever.
Yeah, okay. Anything else about LinkedIn that you hate? So you don't have you have an unpaid LinkedIn account. You don't pay anything, right?
I'll tell you what I hate. I hate your profile picture, Animal. Did you?
Everybody hates it. Okay.
Get rid of it. It scares me.
Okay. If you had to go and be a sole practitioner on your own tomorrow, Will, what would you do? What would you specialize in a certain field like sales? Would there be an industry that you specialized in? How would you go about getting business?
You know, I like being a corporate recruiter. I like.
That's not my question.
Well, I'm answering your question because I don't know if I would
chicken.
Do it. Jerry and I have talked about this.
Chicken.
Well, I mean, the first thing I would do is
let me rephrase.
I go after
question.
Salespeople because that's my network. You got to go where your network is.
If I could guarantee you $200,000 a year as an agency recruiter,
ooh,
what would you do?
$200,000. Now we're talking.
How would you go about getting the business? I'd say, look, I have so much trust in you. I think you're going to generate $500,000 worth of business for me, and I'll only have to pay you two. So you get the money. And I think you're trustworthy. You're still going to try to work, even though the money's guaranteed. What are you going to do tomorrow? Who are you going to call to get a job order? That's what I really want to know. How are you going to get a job order?
So the first thing is I would go after a niche, right? I mean, I think you got to be very careful
What niche?
I go after salespeople. I go sell after salespeople.
Salespeople in a specific industry or just any industry?
You know, probably the high-tech arena because that's where most of Austin is.
Do you know anything about high-tech?
That's what we did. Rosetta Stone has a high-tech product, you know? Or software as a service.
CDs or something like that.
They're not CDs. They're software as a service now. Can we give them my spiel?
Okay, so how would you get business? So now you got you're in high-tech sales. How would you get business? What would you do tomorrow?
The first thing you do, you can go to Indeed and find out who's looking. You can see what recs are open that are been open for a while. And then you call them and say, I have some people or I'd like to have some interest in you know, finding people for you and see if it works.
How often are you paying him, Animal, though?
By the month.
Oh, monthly?
Or I'll give him the $200,000 at the start. It's a fantasy, Jerry. I just want to know what he would do if he didn't have to worry about the money. How would he set up a business that presumably would, you know, be successful? Because he is a successful recruiter.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to know how he would set up a business.
Okay.
It would be successful.
I just want to hear Animal say the word fantasy again in context of the show. The whole thing, I am just kind of, ew.
Okay, does anybody else have a question?
Now I'm picturing him wearing the hat. I'm getting the bow chicka wow wow music.
No.
I'm here with your
like
resume.
That.
I am out of here.
Okay, does anyone else have a final question for you? Jerry's doing an after show today. Do you have the after show, Jerry?
Always.
Okay. Not always.
Most of the time.
You're not here.
Sometimes, dude, it's just not worth it, man.
Okay. So anybody got a final
today
question?
Today it is.
Bill, before you guys cut them up on the after show, any got a final question? I mean, this is Will Jr., Will Recruits Jr.
You can call me Will. That's fine.
Okay.
I'm sticking with Mr. Jr.
Will, do you have any parting words? Do you have any big tips that you'd like to give us a takeaway? If you were going to have my listeners take away three good ideas for recruiters today, what would they be? Or one. One good idea.
Focus on time management. Recruiting has a lot of distractions. I mean, with Twitter and Facebook and everything else. Make sure that you organize your day to get things done. And make a list, scratch things off, get them done one by one, and then you'll be successful. But if you get distracted, which is easy to do in recruiting, you know, you'll get behind and not succeed.
That's it?
Good point. That might be one of the best things ever said on the Animal Show. Seriously, make a list and do it.
It doesn't matter what it is.
That's the best way to be successful, man. It really is just...
That kind of changed my whole day. I'm going to write some stuff down. Can you write stuff down that you already did just so you can scratch it off and feel better about it? Get coffee. Check.
Yeah, man, that makes you feel better. that line does a tremendous amount, you know?
Builds momentum. It builds momentum. Will Thompson Jr.
I prefer check boxes.
Will Thompson Jr. Thank you!
Here's the problem with having a guest on that we've had on before that we're all friendly with. You can't skewer them like people are expecting of the animal show.
Skewer them.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You can't lambaste a guy who's a nice guy like Will Thompson Jr. He's a good guy. The show was kind of, I don't know, flat because there wasn't that back and forth kind of stuff happening.
He had to ignore the blood in the water?
Yeah, kind of. Don't you think? I don't know. Is it just us today, Michael?
I have no idea. No, I saw some other people on Twitter. I think they're calling in.
Yeah, I think a lot of people just listen and then, you know, just keep listening and hang up and yeah, I've been out of the office for a little while, so I'm just swamped on catching up with stuff. And
I heard you were on vacation. Where'd you go?
All of my family get together for a couple weeks each, usually in July, sometimes late June. But we go to northern Michigan to a nice big lake up there and go camping for a couple weeks. And, you know, you're right on the water, so fishing, swimming, skiing, boating, campfire and all that stuff just for a couple weeks, and then I get back into it and don't really take many breaks at all until you know, like Christmas. And if I don't take a break then it's next summer, so I'm in it
just
now for
a
long
couple
haul.
Weeks that sounds funny, just for a couple weeks.
Yeah, that's it. I've been on vacation too much this summer though. We took a my wife and I took a trip to celebrate our anniversary, and then you know, a couple other things. So I'm feeling guilty at this point.
You got to work.
You got to work. Absolutely.
Yeah.
What do you think about the show?
I thought, yeah, it, you know, the friendly environment it certainly kept things clean. I think he was definitely distracted at one. Will was distracted at one point by Twitter. That was hilarious. But yeah, it was. I still thought it was a good show.
Well, all you people in Texas, you're just so nice and friendly. It's hard to really mix it up. We need more people from like Jersey,
there
Boston, you know, where you can really, you know, get riled up and get some combat going. I think that's what people expect on the animal show.
Yeah,
that
the verbal
and
combat
and some learning and stuff like that, you know.
Yeah.
So
hey,
I've been waiting on this call now for a couple days, so I'm going to wrap it up and see you next week, man.
I'll take over the afternoon.
Oh, I got to go.
I got stuff to say. You get off. Here's the problem with the show. Well, actually, there was a profound – I'm going to say something, recruiting animal here. Here's the profound lesson from this show. There's people, nice people, smart people, they're writing – every day about checking the culture, and these are the things that a leader is, and these are the things that a good salesperson is. Ask them how they figure out who's got those traits, just like I said in my introduction, and they really can't tell you. I got a big sign on the wall, and they see this is what I want, and, you know, if they don't fit with that, they're not going to get hired. That's meaningless. That's meaningless. When I thought the important part of this show came down when Michael Cox, you still with us, Michael Cox?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay. When you said you have to translate the attitudes into the external evidence, what have they been doing? Let's count it up. How many cold calls do you make? All those boring questions. That's what you have to ask. It's not, do you share my values? It's meaningless. Would you agree with me about that, Michael?
In the day-to-day stuff, the tactical, you know, questions that may come across as very boring definitely help me to identify people that I wouldn't say are definitely going to fit into whatever the culture is here, but at least I'm going to have something. I'm hedging my bet a little bit better, I guess.
Okay. And,
so, yeah.
And what about this? Should women read the sports page? If you were interviewing a woman and you know she was a sales rep, would you ask her if she read the sports page so she could have rapport with the men that she has to sell to?
I wouldn't, on the corporate side, I wouldn't be foolish enough to say, okay, you're a woman. Do you read sports so you can talk to men? As a good example, I was thinking about when you were asking that. There was a big golf thing going on this weekend. I don't follow golf at all, but I know the president of our company does. So I watched a little bit about it, and then I asked him if he had, just to build a little bit of rapport in my meeting with him on Monday.
Mm-hmm. Well, so will you ask a candidate something like that?
If building relationships is a key to the position that I'm trying to recruit for, I could see myself asking something like that.
Does anybody else on the line? There's a few people still here. Anybody else want to contribute before we sign off? I just wanted to tell you what my big lesson was from the show today. You got to have concrete questions. Most people don't. We just assess people on the gut feel. That's my belief. Anybody else want to say anything before we go? Okay. Mike, I'll see you next week, mate. Thank you!
Bye.
You know, you guys, I have to say, no banning on this show. Nobody's that bad.
The dude is full of negative energy, and I'm just saying I simply don't. The after show is not about negativity. It's not
about.
Gary,
if you open your eyes, you'd see he talks to you just like you talk to me. It's constantly, Animal is an idiot. Everything he says is nonsense. I used to like the show, but now it's nothing. Yeah. I don't kick you off.
Hey.
I don't kick you off the show, and
hey,
you're not
going to
kick him off, okay?
Hey, I just don't need it. If he is ready to say that he's done with it, then I embrace his participation.
So Amy Best is a good communicator.
Where does whiskey fit in with recharging?
That make
me an introvert?
Manager. That doesn't make her an extrovert.
Yes, Jerry.
He recharges by
Jerry, if you drink alone, then you're an introvert.
What if I drink alone, but I call a lot of people all night long because I want to talk to somebody?
Then you're an extrovert.
While you're drinking,
okay.
Then you're an alcoholic, but that's okay.
I don't think that can be underestimated.
Well, Marco,
that is shocking. I'm just jumping in to say that is shocking. Okay, I'm back to
listening. Isn't that funny? When I start to talk, finally get a chance to start talking, the mouthpiece comes in. Go ahead, Jer. Take over.
Well, you know, it's like you're a puppet, and Jerry's voice. He's the ventriloquist.
Hey, I was just interjecting. I'm not taking over. I was just interjecting.
Okay, can I take control again, please, and ask her a question?
You got to do something with this thing,
well,
man.
Do it.
It's dying here,
do it.
Animal.
Come on.
Please. Okay.
Has everybody heard about the virtual Christmas party? January 21st.
Shut
if not,
up!
Go to
I'll
jerrytherecruiter.com.
I will give you a chance if you ask me. Just don't butt in. I have not been able to talk for 5 minutes, okay?
Forgive me.
Yeah, you got your whole show to blab for a half an hour. Give me a chance, will you? When I ask for it, at least.